I hope everybody is staying somewhat cool. We have an open public hearing. Public hearing is now open to consider approval of the City of Baker School Board's proposed operating budget for 2024 through 2025. No action will be taken during this hearing. The budget will be presented. Then we will entertain any questions anyone may have. Once responses to any questions have been presented, we will then exit the public hearing and begin our regular board meeting. We will now have a presentation of the budget by Mr. Scott Lazaron of Falk and Winkler, CPA, LLC.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Lazaron with Falk and Winkler, CPAs. We've got the 24-25 budget draft for presentation tonight. I know there was a workshop on this last week, so I'll keep it relatively brief and high level, and then, as mentioned, open it up to questions. So looking at the 24-25 operating budget, total budget for the district as a whole, a little over $26 million for fiscal year 24-25. About $8 million of that is capital project spending to finish up the project over at the high school. So if you remove that, approximately $18 million across your general fund and special revenue grant funds. You can see the breakout here by category, general funds, a little over $14.5 million, debt service, $800,000 per year on the debt that was taken out to finance the new construction. Special revenue funds, $2.9 million, that's all of your federal grant dollars. And then the capital projects there in the purple area that I mentioned earlier. One thing worth noting that you'll see kind of when we get to the back schedule with the special revenue funds breakout is that number has been much higher the last few years due to the federal COVID-related dollars. But those are pretty much all done with all of that spending have to happen by September of this year. So a significant reduction in your federal funds for the next fiscal year compared to where you've been the last few years. Again, with general fund being the major fund that encompasses most of your activity within the district, three major sources of revenue, which is common for most school district, MFP, the state minimum foundation program allocation is about 47% of total revenues, and then ad valorem taxes or property taxes and sales tax make up the other 50% of the budget, and then other state and local grants comprising that remaining 3%. But again, within the general fund, primarily 97% of your revenue all coming from a combination of MFP dollars from the state and then the local sales tax and property tax. MFP being the largest single source, just worth noting, it is strictly based on student count. So right now, the amount in the budget that is being used is the amount that is the same as the February 1st of 2024 student count. So that's 922 students. The way the state operates is they will start paying you based on that student count, and they will do counts on October 1st and February 1st of 2025, and they will adjust and prorate accordingly based on any increase or decrease in students. A couple of things just worth noting. The base amount is a little over $4,000 per student from the state, but then you get some additional amounts for anything like economically disadvantaged, gifted, talented, and other special programs that any of the students are in.
Scott, I have a question about the career, the CTE funds. Is that a set amount by the state, or is that dependent upon how many kids are enrolled in CTE programs at the district level?
It's based on the student count. So those first four, the first four sub areas you have under the add-on weights are on a per student basis. The career development funds and the supplemental choice allocation below that, those are fixed amounts.
So CTE is just 6% of your total population, regardless of how many are taking courses?
Correct. Next slide, looking at MFP. This is just kind of reconciling you from the total MFP allocation per the state website versus what you're actually going to pocket on a monthly basis and have for ongoing operating expenditure. So the way it works is the state views the funding per student on both the state fund level and the local fund level, as in what you're able to fund based on your property and sales tax. So what they do is when they are paying you for their state portion on a monthly basis, they're withholding an amount related to the local portion for all of the students at the charter schools and backing that out of your payment. So the total is $7.2 million, but with students within your district that are enrolled in charter schools, just under $3 million will be withheld and allocated directly to those charter schools, leaving you a net amount of about $4.2 million for the year, or a monthly check just a little over $350,000. The next slide is just some data, some historical data to kind of show you, you know, where student counts have been and where MF funding has been. And essentially, if you just look there at the second line item, students enrolled in Baker School District, you can see your average for or your count at the February 1, 22 count versus 23 and 24. So you can see it was at 960 in 22, 947 in 23, and 922. At February 1 of this past year. So again, like I mentioned earlier, they're using that last count that they did to base your initial payments for next year. So this budget is based on a 922 student count within the actual Baker School District. And then you can see there below the detailed breakout of how many students within your district are attending which charter schools and the funds that are being backed out for payments directly to those charter schools. To recap general fund revenues for next fiscal year, I mentioned property tax and sales tax, so you can see $2.6 million in property taxes. We're budgeting just under $5 million for sales tax collections. Both of those amounts are consistent with what you've collected in the previous fiscal year. The state MFP dollars that we just went over, and that is gross. And then you can see some of the additional funds and then other state revenues of about $400,000. Leaving you $15.3 million in total general fund revenues, and then about $12.3 million after the $3 million gets allocated directly to the charter schools. The graph here is simply just a representation of student counts over the last 5 years. So you can see up over 1,200 at the high point in 2020. And some pretty drastic decreases there in 21 and 22, which has leveled out a little bit over the last couple of years, but still trending downward, which obviously affects the funding you get from the state. The challenge with this is, you know, whenever you lose students, just because you drop one student or two students or three students doesn't mean that you're removing any cost from the district. You have to have a large enough number of drop to be able to remove teachers, remove classes, and then they would also have to fall in the proper grade. So basically just a way to show over time your MFP funds have decreased, but not necessarily enough to be able to make any sort of meaningful reduction in personnel, which is you'll see that in the salary statistics that they're pretty flat year over year. Looking at expenditures in the general fund, you can see the allocation of expenditures by object. You can see, obviously, salaries and all of the related benefits that go with the salaries making up the lion's share of it. And then you've got various professional services for people who provide both educational and administrative services to the district, property services and maintenance, supplies, equipment, and then you can see debt service there, $800,000. That's an annual recurring obligation that you have on that most recent bond issuance, and then transfers out of that approximate $3 million is that charter school number I've mentioned in the last slide related to the MFP. So $15.3 million in total budgeted revenues for next year, $15.3 million in total budgeted expenditures for a break-even budget. Next slide is just a graphical representation of the numbers we just discussed. And you can see, which is very typical, salaries and all of the related benefits, over half the cost for the district related to teachers and all of the administrative positions. You can see if you move down to the next slide, just a comparison of what we're budgeting for the next fiscal year versus what actually happened in the prior fiscal year and the related changes. You can see salaries going from $5.1 million to $5.3 million. The stipends that the state is currently paying through the MFP formula are built into those salary numbers. Fringe, you can see slightly down from 2.7 to 2.6. Basically, the teacher retirement system adjusts that employer contribution on an annual basis, and you got a little bit of relief this past year. So the employer contribution is going down on the retirement, which is giving you a little bit of relief there. And then most everything is really pretty consistent. The only other really notable increase from a dollar standpoint is the debt service going from $650,000 a year to $800,000 a year. Everything else really pretty consistent with where you've been in the past.
The debt service, is that possibly due to the construction that we're going through?
Yes, it relates to the bond issuance that I believe was a 2022 issuance to fund the construction of the new high school, and that's what all of the debt service is.
So you said it went from 6 to 8?
650,000 last year to 800,000 this next fiscal year.
Okay. It's not bad.
Again, just to kind of pull it all together, operating budget summary, what you experienced this past fiscal year versus what we're budgeting for next fiscal year. You can see very consistent, just a very marginal surplus this past fiscal year, 6,000, and a break-even budget for next fiscal year with a remaining estimated fund balance of $5 million in your general fund. Next slides are related to the capital projects, which again is primarily the high school. You can see based on this, I believe it was discussed in detail last week, a short-term sort of bridge loan to help finish the construction on the high school while you await the FEMA revenue for the contents. A lot of that goes all the way back to the 2016 flood, and you know, as is sort of typical, the FEMA money often takes a long time to come in. Hard to get all of the paperwork done and all of the approvals and actually get the cash. So what you see in here is a short-term bridge loan to finish out the construction and contents that will immediately be repaid upon receipt of the FEMA dollars. So it's an in and an out. It washes. You get it in, hopefully get the money by the end of the fiscal year, pay it right back out. So in total, between the remaining construction costs, the proceeds you're going to get from that short-term loan for the contents, and then the related payback, $8 million in total incoming and outgoing funds related to that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. It's just a recap of some of the capital projects that have recently been completed. And then I believe on the next slide has the 2025 plan, which again is primarily completing the high school project with a couple of other maintenance items. Last item, special revenue funds. I mentioned earlier at the start, you'll see a significant decrease here, in the revenues and the related expenditures. Generally speaking, these are all break-even funds. They're cost reimbursement in nature, so you have to spend the money to get the money. Outside of a small administrative piece, it can be transferred back to your general fund. But you can see 23-24 fiscal year actual, just under $8 million in total federal funds and revenues and related expenditures. Budget for next year, taking that back down to $3 million, or just under $3 million at 2.9. And if you look, they're about two-thirds of the way down the listing, where you see ESSER II formula, ESSER III incentive, ESSER III formula, and ESSER III achieve. That's the majority of those federal dollars that have that the funding is simply over through the federal government. So there is a small piece left in some of those funds, but it all has to be spent by September 30th of this year. Any questions from the public? Any other questions from the board?
Yes, listen, you said it's a small amount left from the ESSA funds. I know we have to spend that by
September 30th.
Okay,
September 30th. And so a lot of, and some of them do allow for capital related expenditures. So I think it's, if you go back up to the capital project fund budget, it's all been budgeted in there to cover some of the equipment within that high school project. Mm-hmm. I think it's $130,000 in the budget for this year. So much less than the, you know, $3 to $5 million you experienced over the last 2-3 years.
Right.
Okay. We have a question. Any other board members have questions?
I was asking, okay, because I see they have a change orders coming. So I was wondering, I need to wait till we get to that, to see that, because I was wondering if we had enough money in the budget from the ESSA funds, so we won't lose anything for that change order. That's all, but go ahead.
I can answer that real quick. So anything that is a change order falls outside of the budget.
Okay. I have a question, but I wanted to ask our finance person, Sydney, before we vote. You want me to ask now or when we get
ready? Sydney, would you come to the podium as well? Scott, you can stay as well.
You can stay.
You can stay, yes.
Hello.
Sydney, my first question is, according to the
Miss Perkins, would you please speak into the mic,
yes,
please?
According to the Louisiana Department of Education School District, don't we have to have an alternative program in every school?
We do have an alternative program. The superintendent can answer to that. That's an instruction.
Is your microphone on, Mrs. Stewart?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We do have an alternative ed program, and the superintendent, he could speak to it, how that actually works, because that's an instructional item.
Okay, because I'd like to see if we do have one, what line item is it on the budget?
Instruction.
Okay, how much is that?
It's basically, you want to answer to that?
So we do have an alternative ed instruction program. We're required by the state to have it. We do have a program. It just depends on how many staff members we have to end up designating to run that program. So right now there's probably 2 to 3 staff members that are part of that alternative ed program.
And how much do we expend for that program?
It would be the salaries and benefits of those staff members. And it just depends on who it is. A lot of it depends on the numbers of students that we end up having in the alternative ed program. So, you know, I can't sit here and say only one staff member, because if we have enough students that end up in that program, we have to designate more staff.
Okay. And it's my understanding that we have new buses. When were they purchased?
We did renew our buses, and the new buses came in January.
January of this year?
Yes, we lease our buses. We don't actually purchase our buses. We lease our buses, and so the lease contract rolled over in January of this year because the new buses for the lease weren't available until January.
Now, we had discussed that before in the board meeting, letting everyone know that we were getting new buses for the camera purpose. We had AC already, but we wanted to put cameras on the bus. So that's why we ended up doing the contract. So they just swapped out the bus, but we did continue our contract. They swapped out the bus and they gave a better, you could say new, because we have cameras on the bus for the safety of the kids and the driver.
That's correct. We talked about that last summer at the budget,
in the
budget workshop. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all righty. If the two of you could just stay for a few minutes, Mrs. Stewart. We have a question from Ms. Retha Wright. Please state your name, Ms. Wright, when you get to the mic.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Retha Wright. My question is mainly regarding a high school, and I am so, this is a long-awaited for opportunity for our students, and I'm just elated that we are getting them in. But I hear lots of complaints, and it was a sore eye to me, the brown stuff that's on the front of the building. And I wish the board would entertain the community's request. And if you saw the budget, 50% of the money that supports the school system comes from the community, from homeowners, landowners, and we have a special half-cent sales tax. So that amount of money is supported by the community. So Baker's school systems exist because of the community support for that school and wanted it to do that. And although I like to see that red grid around there that they voted off, I like to see that on there. Because, you know, I know I probably never see another high school in my lifetime in Baker, but maybe, I don't know. But I would like for them to consider if we have anything in the budget to either, I'm sure the contractor know the correct term, stucco or paint or whatever they can do to make that blend better. It looks like, if you ever seen a car, a blue car with a purple fender on it, it kind of looks like that when you turning off of 19 onto that campus, and if you can make it look like it's part of the new campus, and then the paint on the top of the building, it kind of looks like it goes with the municipal center and not the new part of the school. So I don't know where the funds, I know we had borrowed some money from Red River, I don't know, but whatever it is, if we're solid as a school district, I think we should consider upgrading it to make it look like we get in a new school.
We actually have that on the board agenda tonight as an action item.
Any more questions regarding the budget?
Okay, I'll wait to answer that question. She said, too, because we discussed that about the building or something like that.
On the budget? Mr. McCaso, is your question about the budget specifically? Okay. All right. We're going to get to that, Mr. McCaso.
You will be the first one to speak.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott and Mrs. Stewart. You know, I just feel led to say that I know when we talk, we say things like the community says this, the community says that. But there are different voices in the community. So having said that, there are different opinions in the community. But as a leader, we try to do what is the best for the overall picture for the good of the children. So I just wanted to put that on your minds tonight. Are there any more questions from the public as it relates to our budget? If there are no more questions, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn public hearing. May I get a motion, please?
I motion to adjourn the public hearing.
And may I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Prophet and Ms. Butler. Okay, the public hearing is closed. Thank you all for your comments and thank you for your presentations. This meeting, our regular school board meeting, is being called to order. Good evening once again. If there are any members of the public who would like to make a public comment regarding a particular agenda item. We ask that you request a comment card from Mrs. Dito, who is seated to my right, and submit your comment to her with your comments, rather, for questioning. You will be allowed 2 minutes to comment on each agenda item so that everyone will have an opportunity to comment. I will now call roll. Mrs. Perkins?
Here.
Mrs. Prophet?
Here.
Mrs. Joseph? Absent. Ms. Butler?
Here.
Mrs. Burgess? Here. We have a quorum, and we will proceed with tonight's agenda. Will you all stand, please, for silent meditation? Amen.
Amen.
Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, and I would like to welcome our visitors. Thank you so much for coming out, because as always said, your voices matter to us. We have a recognition of Mr. Casey Smith, our new 6th through 8th grade principal. Mr. Stroder?
Yes, so I've asked Mr. Smith to come just give a brief introduction of himself. Mr. Smith is actually returning to us. He was a math teacher at Park Ridge Academic Magnet when I started as supervisor of instruction, and so he's been off training as an assistant principal in Opelousas, and he's returning to us as a principal, so I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Good evening. I'm not sure if it's on. Can you hear me without it?
Yeah.
Good evening, Board President, Mrs. Burgess, Superintendent, and members of the school board and all stakeholders in the city of Baker. Again, my name is Casey Smith. This is actually my third time to the city of Baker. I actually taught at Baker High School in 99-2000, and so I'm looking forward to working again, growing our students and our teachers. And again, I'd like to thank Mr. Stroder and his hiring committee to giving me the chance to make sure that Baker still shines and that we move forward.
Very good. Well, welcome, Mr. Smith, and we look forward to seeing the good things that you're going to do at our middle school. Thank you so much. We will have next the approval of agenda. Are there any comments from members of the public regarding the agenda? Are there any comments from board members regarding the agenda? If not, may I get a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I motion for the approval of the agenda.
May I get a second?
I second.
We have a motion by Ms. Butler and a second by Ms. Prophet for the approval of the agenda. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph? Absent. Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the approval of the agenda. We will proceed. The public may comment on action items, and as I said, you're limited to 2 minutes per individual item. The first item is consideration and approval of minutes from the school board meeting of July 2nd, 2024. Are there any comments regarding the agenda, the minutes from July 2nd, 2024 from the public? Are there any comments? Are there any comments from the board regarding the minutes from the school board meeting July 2nd, 2024? Okay, if there are no comments, may I get a motion for the approval of the minutes from the school board meeting of July 2nd, 2024? May I have a motion?
I motion of approval of the minutes from the school board meeting of July 2nd, 2024.
May I get a second?
I second it.
Thank you, ladies. I have a motion by Ms. Butler and a second by Ms. Prophet for the approval of the minutes from the school board meeting of July 2nd, 2024. The board will now vote. Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Perkins?
I abstain.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph, absent. And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the approval of the minutes from the school board meeting, July 2nd, 2024. The next agenda item is to adopt the 2024-2025 City of Baker School Board operating budget. Are there any questions or comments regarding the school board operating budget? Any comments or questions from the board? We actually had a work session on this last week, and of course, we've had presentation on it in a public hearing previously. So, may I get a motion to adopt the 2024-2025 City of Baker School Board operating budget?
I give a motion to adopt the 2425 City of Baker School System operating budget.
And may I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Mrs. Prophet and a second by Ms. Butler to adopt the 2024-2025 City of Baker School Board operating budget. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
No.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph, absent. And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries for the adoption of the 2024-2025 City of Baker School Board operating budget. I just want to say good job, Mrs. Stewart. And Mrs. Stewart has accountability. It's not that, you know, things are going on there without someone looking over. Thank you, Falk and Winkler. Scott, tell Tommy hello again. And then we have an audit. We are actually in auditing. And so these are the checks and balances that we have as it relates to city to the budget in the City of Baker School Board. Third agenda item.
On this budget, we did have a meeting on this. We discussed this. And Ms. Perkins, this is to you. Without approving this budget, do you know you will be on the board without getting paid? Because without it passing, no one could get paid for this.
Teachers.
But that's what I have to say. Thank God it passed.
And that's a good comment, Ms. Prophet. Thank you for that. The next item for agenda is consideration and approval of unpainted portion of the Baker High School building project. Now, I must say, this has been a long time coming, this high school. You know, 2 or 3, 4 years ago, people were complaining in the community. Why are you guys, what's happened with the building? You know, it's been taking too long. I heard that every day. Now that the school is up, they're still complaining. And I'm not talking about this particular agenda item, but there's still complaints out there. This should be, like my daddy used to tell me, you should be the happiest little girl in the world. I'm taking care of you. You have everything you need. This should be the happiest community. We should all be cheering and patting each other on the back and, you know, thanking God. To God be all the glory. I know I said this is not church. But who else are we going to thank? And who else are we going to give the credit to but God?
And they said, half of them in the city said, Baker's never going to open.
But we proved them wrong.
We proved them wrong by sticking together, voting together for the right thing and not for the wrong.
I'd like to add to that. So when you're building a school, you're never going to build the perfect school, because you have different people's opinions of what that school should look like and what it represents and what it stands for. And finding everybody to agree with that is not an easy task. You're correct. This building has been a long time in process, and we're about to open it up, start school on Monday.
But you know what? I haven't heard one complaint from a child. And I'm always around children all the time. I have kids all around me. They're saying, Miss Joyce, tell the board thank you for this. I'm so excited to walk into the new school. So if anybody comes to you, I'm just going to challenge you guys and charge you guys. If anyone comes to you with any kind of complaints, just say, you know what? All of that may be taken care of at a later date, but right now, let's just rejoice and let's just be happy. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get on my soapbox, but we should all be happy.
No, but I'm sorry. If they have a complaint, they should come to the school board and let us know about the complaint that they have, not to one another in the community. Come to the school board members and let us know what's going on or what you want done.
We'll try to accommodate you as much as we can. But, you know, anyway, let's all be happy. 8 years.
What it looks like.
Yep. So I believe this item was requested by Mrs. Joseph. I placed it on the agenda because she had requested it to be on the agenda. But I believe she's talking about that portion in the front of the building that has the ridged concrete in the original design. I believe that's what this item is representing.
And Mr. McCassell, you're up next, sir.
Yeah, watch your step. Yeah,
watch your step, please.
Good evening, school board members and members of the community.
Good evening.
I want to say, look, you guys have done a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Yeah, my way, please. I want to say congratulations to the school board members, the counselors, all of the community members, that you've done a wonderful job. I'm 86 years old, and I thought I'd never see another Baker High School. Matter of fact, they told me y'all wasn't going to be at that school. Wow. I thank y'all. I thank Mr. Strada, all of you guys, counselors, members of the community who supported it. I thank you, because I didn't think I'd ever see one. But anyway, that being said, all of my kids went to Baker High School. Every time I look at Monique, I think about the day I walked in that school, and they had integrated that school, and all y'all were scared. And I walked in, and I told y'all, look, it's going to be okay. Hold your head up.
Amen.
Don't worry about your comb. They're telling you to take it out of your pocket. You ain't going to do it. If you need your comb to comb your hair, comb your hair. I can never forget that day. Okay? Now, let me tell you about this. There are some things that were done at that school that we put together to put in that school. Do not, for God in heaven's sake, don't paint over it. Clean it, but don't paint over it. That's what we put there, Monique. That's what we put there.
Exactly.
Don't change it. And I'm asking you, please don't change it. Let it stay there.
That's
clean it up, let it stay there. Okay? Now, and I'm reminded of a story that my daddy used to tell all the time in church. And he said, the pastor put a white sheet, not you, Mr. Slaughter, put a white sheet up on the board. And he took a pen, ink pen, and put a little black spot there on it. And the pastor got up in church and he said, "What do y'all see in this on this board?" And every member in that church said, "We see that little black spot." One old man got up and said, "Pastor, you see that whole white sheet there? Forget that black spot there. Let's look at that white sheet. The point of the matter is that you can see all of that little black spot, but you can't see all that white sheet. That's the matter. Forget that little bit of dirt that's on those things that we put there. Leave it there. Don't bother with it. And God bless all of y'all. You did a wonderful job. Thank y'all so much for allowing me to speak. But that's my feeling on moving that stuff. We put it there. Leave it there. Thank you very much."
Got that.
Thank you, Mr. McCaskill.
Watch your step.
Okay. Are there any comments from other board members?
I think there's an estimate. There's an estimate on the cost. You want to talk about what the cost would be?
To paint it?
Okay. To paint it?
Yeah, the estimate to paint from Stewart & Company is $8,989. So just right under $9,000 is what they're offering. But the warranty would probably be a one-year warranty just on the paint. And so just, you know, please realize that with this option, it is something that you probably have to maintain depending on the color, but it's probably something that you would need to maintain at least every 2 to 3 years.
And how much you say it?
Right under $9,000.
Okay.
And this would be interior and exterior of all the exposed ribbed concrete walls.
Now, see if any of the constituents would like to come up with that money to paint it. We will consider voting for it next year. Oh, I need to say something, too. I'm sorry. This should have been when Ms. Sydney spoke. Ms. Sydney, I would like to say you have done an excellent job all year. So the ones that voted no every time we vote for finance, I thank you. Because all of this work that was presented, it came from you. And they checked over it and went. But I thank you. You have been doing an excellent job. And I know it's a lot of stress doing your job. But I'm supporting you.
Amen.
It is what it's right. Bet City of Bakery would have passed, not the city school board. Okay, let's vote.
All right. Thank you all for your comments. May I get a motion for the approval or consideration of the unpainted portion of Baker High School building project? May I get a motion?
I motion the consideration and approval of the unpainted portion of Baker High School building project.
May I get a second?
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Prophet and a second by Ms. Butler for the approval of the unpainted portion of Baker High School building project. We will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
I abstain.
So we're voting not to paint, correct?
Yes.
You're voting to paint it.
Say that again.
We're voting to
paint. You're voting to paint it.
Is it approval of the?
We're voting to paint.
Paint it.
We say no, right?
The way they got it written, it says
point of order.
Unpainted portion.
Yeah. Yes. Point of order.
A yes vote will approve the unpainted portion, and they will paint. A no vote, you will not paint the unpainted portion.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's do this again. Mrs. Perkins?
I abstain.
Mrs. Prophet?
No.
Ms. Butler?
No.
Mrs. Joseph, absent. And Mrs. Burgess? No. The motion carries for the approval of the unpainted portion. The motion did not carry. Thank you. That was kind of interesting the way it's written here. The motion does not carry for the approval of the unpainted portion of the Baker High School building project. Okay, on to the next agenda item. Consideration and approval of change order number 9 for the Baker High School construction project. Mr. Lewis.
Board President Burgess, members of the board, Superintendent Schroeder, just want to give you a quick update on the construction progress. School is starting on August, on Monday, August 12th, so it did get moved back. In that time, we will have the construction ready. Furniture has been moved in. Teachers are setting up their classrooms at this time. The contractor is setting up owner's training on all the equipment. A few delays that we've talked about previously, I just want to give you a quick update on that. The gym flooring is in the process of being installed. We had just some minor delays with getting the moisture content to meet the warranty. We are hoping that it's going to be finished by the ribbon cutting, but we're going to see what happens this week to see if we can actually walk on it. But our goal is to actually be able to use that space. Let's see, the band hall, that room was going to be delayed. We always knew that was going to be delayed for the first day of school, but we are still projecting middle to late August for that space to be available. Dr. Russell is working to have some of the other classrooms be accessible to the band so that those instructions can continue. Let's see, I think there was just one inquiry from the board about the flagpole. So right now, the existing flagpole does support the American flag, and it's just one flagpole. And so I think it's, if we needed to consider more positions on that one flagpole, just let us know. We can look into inquiries about that or pricing on that.
Now, I was told someone wants three flags up or something?
No, it's just it's just the original flagpole, and that original flagpole just had the American flag. Some schools do elect to have three flags, the American, the state, and the school flag. But I think for Baker, it's just y'all have always had the American flag, to my understanding.
We don't have a school flag, do we? No, we don't have a school. Okay. We may have to look into that.
I haven't heard anything about additional flags.
Okay, so just to review the change order, I'm going to go through each item. What's been presented to you guys is two options for change order 9. And as we get to the bottom part, I'll just kind of show you that difference. It's really about the intercom system. We wanted to present an option just in case it wasn't accepted, so at least all the infrastructure was in place so that we didn't interrupt the first day of school. So going through, again, on the top of your list, RFC 87 for $7,457. This was an adhesive that we needed to install onto the floor because the moisture content in Building B wasn't satisfactory. So this is an additive that was added so that we could just, again, make sure we were moving towards the first day of school. 88, the owner requested some upgrades to the electrical breaker in the gym for $1,500. 89 is a requirement from the state fire marshal. The reviewer, when the architect submitted the drawings, approved the set, but the application and the actual design, that the reviewer just required us to round the edges. So you'll see this happen twice, but it's $3,600. 90, again, once we found the electrical breaker to work, the light fixtures in the gym weren't all operating because they were set stagnant for so many years. So for $2,400, we're upgrading the lights in the gym. 91, we're adding an electrical outlet in the storage room, which is also an IT closet. It was something the IT department needed to support some of their equipment. 92, for some reason, the hand washing station in the cafeteria was missing from the drawing. So this is just a coordination item for $12,500. We did get that in. We are asking that be approved so that we can meet the DHH requirement. We have credits of about $57,000 total. And so I think Ms. Joseph had mentioned in the last board meeting, just asking us to take a second look at that landscaping. We were able to carve off a little bit from the landscaping plan. We switched from planted material to sod, or in some case when it was sod, we were able to go to hydro seed. And so that we were able to save about $57,000. So this is one of them, the sod credit, as well as 95, that landscape credit.
I got a question right there before we leave that one, before I forget. Okay, on the landscaping of it, that's out there now, the dead grass that they put down, it was dead when they put it down. So how that's supposed to work? Are they going to come replant that?
Yeah, the contractor's looking into it right now. He's trying to water it to see if it's hibernating. We don't really believe him on that, no. But it is the contractor's responsibility for up to a year to replace any dead landscaping. So he's trying to revive it right now. If it doesn't work, we'll rip it out and put new.
Okay. And
at his cost.
Okay. And then on the rails.
Yes.
They need to be cornered?
They need to be beveled on the edges. And so the design didn't show that bevel. And so when it was fabricated, they used stock metal. And, because it wasn't in the drawings and indicated, it was above and beyond.
Okay. Now, where are those located? I know the front of the school, but how many is it?
It's a bunch. So it's, because of the building code change for building B, it's obviously a lot higher than building A. So any of those transitions going from building A to B or from B to the courtyard or B to the football field is where we mainly have handrails.
So have y'all put the corner rails up already?
We started to bevel those edges. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, 96, we added a few extra outlets in the hallway just to help support the metal detectors for right under $1,000. For 98, $2,300, we added in to do some street sweeping just to make sure that some of the construction debris was not in the way of the striping as well. So we added striping to it, and it was kind of a full package, street sweeping, pressure washing the existing concrete and adding in those striping at the auditorium and behind the band building. 99 was a requirement from the state fire marshal. They are requiring a curb around the dumpster pad. That's a new item that I've never really seen, but it was required, $4,400. Again, part of that $57,000 credit, the architect specified that the fire alarm cabling and wiring all be within conduit. It's not required by code. So I think through the duration of the contract, the contractor and architect have been working to kind of hold on to that credit. And so now that that system's complete, they've released that credit to us. Let's see, 103. Replacing the sink in the art room with a more usable sink. So that was just a quick add of $386. Again, 106 is very similar to 89 with the beveling of the handrails. They just have it separated out just because of the timing that it was requested.
All right. Now, if we don't pay for the sink already, they're going to charge us to replace the sink?
So in the construction documents, it wasn't clear on what type of sink to install. They ended up installing a hand washing sink. I think the school had requested, because of being an art lab, be a more of a utility sink. So it just is a deeper base. And think about a janitor's closet or a utility sink. It's about 18 inches deep.
Shouldn't that have been something that the architect knew?
It should. It was a coordination item. So your contract, your B101 has measures in place to penalize the architect for some of these coordination items. So yes. What we'll do at the end of the contract, we'll kind of evaluate each of these separate RFCs and figure out how, whose responsibility it was and sort of hold them accountable.
Okay.
All right, we had another credit to replace the lockers in the PE gym, in the PE locker room. Instead of phenolic, to go to metal, prefabricated metal. So that was a quick find that we were able to capture.
They weren't giving us a timeline on the first one, so they could get the metal ones to us within 2 weeks, correct?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So the phenolic was actually delayed about 6 to 8 more weeks, about a week ago. They were able to secure this metal, the metal lockers, and we hope to get those in about 2 weeks. So it also helped with our timeline.
Is that included in the $57,000 credit?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
107, is some electrical upgrades to Building D, which is the band building. After the abatement, and once the contractor really started moving in, they noticed that a lot of the electrical wiring wasn't up to code. The canopy from Building D to the auditorium, all the light fixtures were removed. Mm-hmm. So this acceptance of this change order will bring everything up to code and, again, bring it back to pre-storm conditions.
Wait. Hold on. Sorry. Okay. Install 2 to 3 inch conduit to Building D. Was that a credit?
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over that. Yes. I didn't mean to do that. Actually, let me skip over that. I'm going to combine. That is 106 and on the next section. Those are the two differences between 108 and 109. I'm sorry, 109A and 109B. So I will put a pin in 106 just for the time being.
Okay.
And then 108, painting the canopies. We had received a price from the contractor to paint all the existing painted surfaces so that everything looked very fresh and new on the front of the building. And so this is at the auditorium, at the band building, at the bus drop-off. We painted all the structural columns. And we had talked about this, I think, at the last meeting as well. We reduced this change order from, we minimized the scope, and we think it actually looks really great. So back to 106. So we divided the intercom. The original drawings didn't have intercom system, the existing intercom system tied back to the original building. I think it was something that was left off just with acceptance of that VE. Yes, ma'am.
Is this from the previous board with all this stuff being left out? Because I don't remember discussing none of this here.
You know,
this
year
thing here, 2017.
So. Yeah, okay, my understanding is that change order VE was in the previous board.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know what change order picks up with you guys.
So the change order you're referencing was change order one. Ms. Stewart might be able to give you the timeline on that. I think it was the previous board, previous administration, but change order one value engineered about $2 million out of the project.
And look, this is typical when you accept a VE during construction. There's just these little small items, the residual items that or sadly,
right.
You know, as we get to this point, it just sort of rears its ugly head. So 106 within your first change order, 109A, is just the conduit and the pool strings to get intercom and any future internet from Building B to the auditorium and to Building D. We just divided just in case there was certain sentiment to not move forward with this work. We did talk to Dr. Russell just to confirm there was an existing intercom system over there, because the current state, we really didn't see signs of any speakers or anything, but she did confirm that it was, a post or pre-storm condition. I just think during the process and it's sitting stagnant, somehow the speakers and some of the wiring just were pulled. And obviously through the abatement process, through Building D as well, you know, a lot of that stuff was just yanked out. So, again, 106 for $21,000 is the conduit and pool strings. And then if you flip to 109B, the last item, 109, is $18,000 for the equipment and the cabling. So, overall, it's about, I think it's about $35,000, $38,000 to tie the auditorium and Building D back to the main panel in the school.
Another question. Mm-hmm. Where are all the intercoms going in the school? I mean, like the hallway. I know we
just the the speakers,
classrooms, or what?
Yes, ma'am. The call buttons are in the classrooms,
right?
And then the speaker system is throughout the school. So, you know, again, obviously, an announcement in the morning, everybody in any of the spaces will be able to hear.
And in the gym. Like when they're in the gym for different situations, like we have little stuff there sometimes.
Yes, ma'am.
It was hard to hear, so they will have one. So
that was one of the things that was value engineered out by the previous board, previous administration, that we had to put back in it.
Yeah, I'll confirm if we're using the existing speakers in the gym. I'll confirm that. Okay.
I'm sure we're not.
Okay.
2017. No. We'll see.
So when we put the intercom system back in, Louis, it should have included the gym, because that intercom system was for the whole building. I'm surprised they didn't catch the building D and the band hall and the auditorium.
Yeah. Yep.
Write it down.
So, again, we'll vet through this whole system and validate what's owed and what penalties we need to assess.
Right.
And that's it. So, again, right now, the two options, option A is for $59,276.
That would actually be less $8,900, because the board, that included that $8,000, the previous one, yeah, that included that $8,000.
I think we ended up revising this one, right? Okay. Remember, we ended up taking out that $89,000.
So that's the two options, though. The first option, I think, still has that on it.
Second option, I will confirm that. But I think we ended up taking out that 89. But we will run these numbers one last time, knowing that 89,000 isn't included. And the second option is just to include the entire intercom system for buildings D and the auditorium.
Great.
Okay. Football field. They gonna put intercom or something out there?
It's different for each school system, but you'll probably be able to hear the sirens and the bell from the outside system.
Would you take about, if there are no more questions from the board, would you just take about 60 seconds and identify who you are and what you guys have done for us as a board and as a school system?
Sure. My name's Louis Saab. I'm an architect by trade, but I work with CSRS. We were hired by the City of Baker School Board to help manage the project and the grants management for this disaster, the flood, and also the construction of Baker High School. Myself and Brian Budd have been part of this process with you guys since January. I'm a little bit newer to the board in the past 2 months, but really our goal is trying to maximize the federal dollars for you guys. You know, we have found our grants management team have been working with.
You can
FEMA,
call their names.
Miss Linda and Stephanie.
They are amazing.
They are amazing. So we call them I secretly call them my bulldogs, because they know how to fight the fight and talk the talk with FEMA. Got some good news recently that we were able to expand upon some of the management fees and even some of the content fees. So what we've been trying to do is capture as many of the invoices from you guys to maximize that dollar, so that, again, all that we can kind of at least help offset some of this change order. So, you know, our goal is really just to fight the good fight, talk to the contractor and architect, kind of question a lot of these systems, and make sure that, again, the students have the best experience on day one.
And we're grateful to you. Sometimes you have to have people to stand in the gap for you. Awesome. And that's what this company has done for the City of Baker school system. So thank you very much. Tell your team thank you as well. Any other questions? Okay. All righty. We will now... I will ask for a motion to accept the approval of change order number 9 for the Baker High School construction project, correct?
Okay. We have two options. So it's option A or option B, which is the entire intercom system, or option A, just the conduit, and it would not be working this fall if you accept A. B, it would be working this fall semester.
All righty, I need a motion to accept the approval of change order number 9 A and B.
Or B.
Okay.
Wait, Ms. Joy. I want to be clear again, just so you understand. Option A includes just laying the conduit to the buildings. It does not include installing the intercom system in those buildings. Option B includes laying the conduit and installing the intercom systems in those buildings.
And how much is it total again?
It's about a $30,000 difference between the two.
So do we vote on this separately?
You have to decide which one you want to vote on.
Okay.
The motion will either be on option A or option B.
Okay. All righty. So I need an option. I need a motion to accept the approval of change order number 9, option A or B, for the Baker High School construction project. B includes. That's what I need to
I need to ask a question too, though. Sydney, do we have the money for that? But we have that other company that we do get the money from until we get it back from FEMA, right? Say that again, the grant, the Strong Connection grant. Thank
you. But,
that's what did it for.
Yeah, but you need to know that if we use the money for that, we won't be able to probably do the film on the windows for security. I think that's what I originally wrote that grant for, was the film on the windows, yep.
Does the content come from the same budget as the building construction? Because, you know, we are trying to use some of that content, the invoices, to offset within the grant. Right. Right.
Lewis, I also know that we looked at it, or we considered a wireless option from the, do you remember how much that was?
It was more expensive. It was more expensive. So this is the least cost alternative. And it does, again, with the extra conduit, it does allow you guys, right now, you have two separate internet services. How I understand it is there's two separate internet services for the campus, and so this would allow you guys to, in the future, just pull additional wire to connect it all to one. Minimal cost savings and life cycle costs later on if y'all decide to do that.
I would say it, you know, it's more expensive to do option B, but it's probably smarter to do option B.
Yeah, I agree.
And what's the difference in cost again? $30,000. That 57 should offset it with the credit?
So I'll tell you this, you know, we're as I was trying to say, you know, that we're finding some additional content items that the school needs, some more metal detectors, some ice machines. And so what we're doing is trying to throw that into that content PW so that we can get that reimbursed. So if that was something that would have come from maybe that same budget or that same, you know, management fund, that we can get some of that or more of that reimbursed through the FEMA dollars.
All righty. Okay. Once again, I need a motion regarding the approval of change order number 9, option A or option B, for the Baker High School construction project.
I motion for the change order of option A or B. But the number? Okay. I motion for the change order B. For the high school,
change order number nine.
Okay,
gotcha. Okay, may I get a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mrs. Prophet and a second by Ms. Butler for change order number 9, option B, for the Baker High School construction project. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph, absent. Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries for the approval of change order number 9, option B, for the Baker High School construction project. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Information items. Mr. Stroder. Thank you, Scott.
So you have the personnel report in the agenda. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to me about that after the meeting. And the second item, I did want to add, I'm going to go ahead and talk about my comment while I was here. I do have some additional good news. So if, I don't know how many people remember, but there was some vandalism that was done inside the auditorium by a homeless gentleman several years ago. And I did submit an insurance claim on that, and I met with the adjuster this morning, and I think insurance is going to cover about $150,000 to $200,000 of repair of the inside of the auditorium. So that's some good news.
Thank you.
Yeah, I also know that there was some concern with bats. I think there was a report that there were bats in the auditorium 2 years ago under the previous board and administration. I did bring in a critter control last summer that remedied that and plugged the holes. They did check it again, and we also had a second individual check that auditorium to make sure that there weren't any bats. Both companies said that there weren't any bats, so we are going to have them come back out and check it in August just to make sure there's not any more holes that they can get into, but that building should be free of bats.
Thank you, Mr. Stroder.
So the second item is there was a question from Ms. Perkins 2 board meetings ago, and I've asked Dr. Smothers and Ms. Bailey to address that item for Mrs. Perkins.
Okay. Good evening, everyone, to our board president, Superintendent Stroder, to all of the board members here tonight, as well as all of our stakeholders, community leaders from the city of Baker. So tonight, yes, I am, Mrs. Bailey and I are here to address and support, and share out what our literacy improvements have been across the district in from kindergarten to third grade. So again, as Mr. Stroder said, 2 questions were presented during a previous board meeting requiring a response from the Office of the Office of Accountability and Assessments. One, the first question was, have we started to think about a plan for those students who are going to the third grade that scored below basic on DIBELS? By law, all third graders who score below the benchmark on DIBELS will be retained beginning with the 2024-25 school year. That was the question that was posed, and so therefore we are here to address. Yes, our 2023-24 pupil progression plan addresses the district support plan for third and fourth graders who scored below grade level on DIBELS as identified on their end of year screeners. In addition, the district understands the accountability measures as it pertains to Act 422, which details the retention guidelines or guidance set to impact third grade students who are not reading on grade level by the end of year 2024-25. This summer, however, the City of Baker School System, with the efforts of our district and school leadership teams, coordinated by Mrs. Candace Bailey, created an extended year model for our students through our STEAM-sational academy. This year, our STEAM-sational academy encompassed 2 pathways. The first pathway was an academic enrichment pathway. The second pathway was an academic and literacy focus pathway. As required by law, all third and fourth grade students who were identified for the extended year model were selected for the academic literacy focus pathway based upon 1 or more of the following data points. The data points that we looked at to determine whether or not students needed this support were as follows. 1, a score of below or well below grade level in reading on the end of year DIBELS literacy screener. 2, a score of below basic achievement level in at least 2 core academic subjects. 3, score a below level in reading on the NWEA, which is our MAPS benchmark assessment, at the end of the year benchmark checkpoint, and or 4, grade level attainment as defined within our district's pupil progression plan by grade level, which is subject to an SBLC for promotional determination. The goal of capturing our students' performance using these noted indicators allowed us to focus intentionally on the action needed to close the gaps between our students' performance and their intended growth targets in literacy. So with that, we also had one additional question that came with another board member on our board, of course. How many current students passed or failed the DBLS assessment? So the DBLS literacy screener evaluates individual student development in the foundation of reading and provides feedback to determine the instructional needs of our students. More than anything, the screener measures students' growth, okay? So not there is a below level and a well below level, but there's also that at and above levels in reading. That's actually the data markers in order to see where the students are or how the students are performing.
I'm going to stop you for just a second. So the DBLS is not a pass-fail assessment. The DBLS is a benchmark assessment to measure whether students are on grade level or not.
That's exactly right. It's measuring the growth and provides students with their identified level of achievement. It's either up to and beyond the level of proficiency. So the data that I'm going to talk about tonight briefly was actually from our end of year DBLS assessment that was made. We are preparing to assess our students again at the beginning of the year, which is 30 days from the date of the first day of school, or within the 30-day range. So, but I would like to say that I'm very happy on behalf of the district and the work that our teachers are doing. I am happy to report that 100% of our full academic year, those students have been with us throughout the entire year for 23-24, 100% of those students grew in the foundations of reading throughout the school year. So there was growth for every student that was screened during this process. Now, we do recognize that there's a lot of work for us to continue to do. But with this work, Mrs. Bailey and the team did a lot of that this summer to close those academic gaps or those literacy gaps from the point of May when we captured this data. Okay? So kindergarten, last year's kindergarten, who are rising first graders, 43% of those students are at or above level. Our goal for the beginning of the year and the communication that's been shared with the principal is that we're looking for 60% of those kindergartens rising first graders to be on or above at or above grade level 60%. For our first graders, which are our rising second, 51% were at or above benchmark for their literacy. We're looking for 60% as well for the beginning of the year. Second grade is where we had some of our challenges in those areas, and more work is definitely going to be needed to support that the second graders, which are the rising third graders, in which the mandate sets forth with the state, the statute of the retainment of the third graders is going to hit this group. So we have a lot of instructional attention and focus that has to drive this particular area. This report was that 25% of those students were at or above grade level, but with the supports from the summer, we're looking for 50% to be on grade level for the beginning of the year. And for our third grade, which are our rising board.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you again. This is this upcoming third grade group. These were the kids that were in the heart of the COVID pandemic as kindergarten students.
That is correct. Absolutely. So for third grade, rising fourth, of course, our screener goes to a third grade. So for our third grade, we ended with 34% that were at or above grade level. And so with them, we're going to continue to push forth some intensive supports in literacy and bring in our third-party partners, which is SOAR Education, to continue to support that work with us. And Mrs. Bailey is going to talk about all of those improvements. So as we continue to close literacy gaps between the students' performance and students' growth potential, we will progress monitor throughout the school year, at the beginning of the year, middle of the year, as well as the end of the year for all kindergarten through third grade students. So Mrs. Bailey, you are up to talk about the great work from the summer.
So for our summer, we had an outstanding turnout for all of the grade levels. We went from approximately 275 students from last summer to we averaged 512 students every day during the summer. So for pre-K, we always have a two-week pre-K program that just gets our pre-K students acclimated to being in school. We also start all of our pre-K testing, starting out with letter naming and those type of testing. And so we had 19 students who attended our pre-K program. For pre-K through fifth grade, for the academic component, if you remember, Dr. Smuller said we had two components, so the academic was based on some type of testing like Dibbles, their NWA MAP scores, if they were in LEAP testing grades, their previous LEAP testing grades as well. So what we did was we had those two sides to it. So we had academic. We averaged 221 students every day for the summer for the academic side for pre-K through 5 and 113 for our enrichment side for pre-K through 5. Also, the same thing was going on at our middle school. So we had rising 6th, 7th, and 8th at the middle school, as well as the rising 9th grade who was in the academic portion of the program. And we averaged 87 of those students for academic and 45 for enrichment, which was a total of 132 6th through 8th graders came through this summer. And for our 9th through 12th graders, we had the Career and College Tech Academy, which had 48 students. And so all of these students comprise of our 512 students that came through. And throughout that program for our academic side, they were engaged in SOAR, which is an education consulting company that came in and worked with those students who who were well below and below on the Dibbles testing. And so they worked with them, three students in a group, and they pulled them for an hour every day during the summer, thanks to Ms. Sandra Douglas with the SOAR education consultant. And we used the curriculums iReady as well as the state-mandated summer school program for literacy. So literacy was our focus for the summer. I just want to thank our coordinators for the summer for elementary, Ms. Connie Shaw, Francis Ely, and Ms. Martina Domino. For our middle school, Stephanie Patton and Sandra Grimes. And for our high school, Ms. Nakia Nelson, and all of the teachers that helped to make it a success with the students. So we are definitely looking forward to some growth based on focusing on that literacy. So we'll be looking at that beginning of the year data for our Dibbles as well as pre-tests from teachers in the classrooms. So thank you.
And I just want to add to that, you know, we use multiple forms, multiple data points to kind of try to triangulate where our students are academically. We typically know by the end of the spring where our students are going to fall on LEAP before we ever get the LEAP scores, and we actually make decisions. We make decisions on who's going to be in classrooms for the next year or not based on that data.
All righty. We are hopeful, of course, that our beginning of the year results, based upon the work that is going to be done with students, what has been done with students during the summer. We did that work to prevent a summer slide, and we're hopeful that the results for the beginning of the school year, or beginning of the year literacy screener, is going to be pretty nice. We're going to meet those targeted goals. That's the ultimate goal, to do that. So this concludes our month's accountability and assessment report on K-3 literacy. Next month's report will be on our spring LEAP 2025-4 spring results. As well as our pupil progression plan. Thank you.
Very good. Some time ago, it was recommended by me to Dr. Smothers about CLEP. Right, Dr. Smothers? And she did the research on CLEP, which is a college entrance test, because this adds value to our children. So if there's anything that you as the community, if you want to start talking
talk about what you can suggest to board members, to Mr. Stroder, to our staff, things that will add value to our children. Those are the conversations. And so to take you out of here with even more positive conversations, the school is built. Next goals are to increase enrollment. And you know what? It's going to happen. Another thing is to build new schools for our city. So these are the conversations, and to increase growth, our children's learning growth. So these are the conversations to have in the community. How can you support these three endeavors? So that's all I have to say.
Let me say one more thing before we close. I spoke with HR at Walmart today, and they have a program to teach young ladies and gentlemen how to dress for interviews for jobs, and they're willing to come over here to do that for us at no charge.
Excellent.
So let me know who the direction. I'll give it to you, Mr. Schroeder. I'll give her your name, and y'all could get in touch with her and let her know whatever. Y'all
sounds good.
Get that, and they come over.
Sounds good. This is what I'm talking about. Things that add value for our children. The date of our next meeting is September 3rd. We're in September already. September 3rd, 2024. And at our next meeting, am I supposed to say this? Conduct a public hearing.
Does she need to announce the millage for, yeah.
Okay. At our next meeting, like we had a public hearing today, there's going to be another public hearing in September to announce, or to discuss, rather, our millage. Notice to hereby given pursuant to Article 7, Section 23C of the Louisiana Constitution and RS 47-1705B that a public hearing of the City of Baker School District in the East Baton Rouge Parish will be held at its regular meeting place in the boardroom of the City of Baker School Board, located at 14750 Plank Road, Baker, Louisiana, on Tuesday, September 3rd at 6 p.m. to consider levying additional or increased millage rates without further voter to consider levying additional or increased millage rates without further voter approval or adopting the adjusted millage rates after reassessment and rolling forward to rates not to exceed the prior year's maximum. The estimated amount of tax revenues to be collected in the next year from the increased millage is $2,623,169.75, and the amount of increase in taxes attributable to the millage increase is $275,920.30. Did I read that correctly? Okay. So that's what's going to happen at our next meeting. It's not an increase, right? It's just a rolling forward of what we already get. Any board comments?
I would like to say thank you for everyone that participated in the Back to School on Saturday with State Representative Barbara Carpenter. We had a great turnout, gave almost right at 900 backpacks away. We had the food, the kids enjoyed. I was disappointed to know that two of our school board members wasn't here, but they were other places. But I just want you to know that everything is for the kids. Yes, it is. But when the City of Baker School Board cuts your check, you should be here with the kids to support them. But it was a success, and I want to thank everyone.
It really was.
Convocation tomorrow at breakfast at 8:45. Convocation starts at 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I was getting ready to ask Dr. Russell if she has anything to say, but she's not here. Okay. May I entertain a motion for adjournment?
May I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion from Mrs. Prophet and a second by Ms. Butler to adjourn. The board will now vote. Excuse me, I have to celebrate somebody. I'm so sorry. I'm going to say this quick so this motion won't die. Mr. Ricky Jones and what he is doing with the new website, guys. We have a new website. I've been hearing things from people saying, well, the City of Baker's website is this. The City of Baker's website is that. But guess what? We have a new website. And thank you so much, Mr. Ricky. Is it up there? Can you put it up real quick while people are leaving the meeting? They can take a look at it.
I've already shut my computer down, so you'd have to do it from the board.
So we're going to vote as this presentation is being given.
Before you do that, I wanted to say Ricky came into my office today really excited because he actually did some drone footage of the new high school that looks fabulous. If you haven't seen it, he's probably going to bring it up so you can see it.
All righty. Okay.
Yep. But he came in excited because I think the post on Instagram had already reached over 4,000 people, so he was excited about that.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ricky Jones. All right. We'll now take the vote to adjourn. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph, absent. And Mrs. Burgess, yes. This meeting is now adjourned. And thank you all so much for coming out. Have a wonderful rest of your week.